And I thought it would be nice if we'd hear from some of our staff people here at Stony. And we talk about gifts at Christmas time, and of course the ultimate gift, which is Christ himself. Nothing surpasses that. But sometimes there are gifts among us that get overlooked because they're just there all the time. And it's easy to take them for granted, even though they're very special. And you know what I mean. People, like your parents or your grandparents, even your siblings, just special people in your life. Well, I've got a lot of special people in my life, and I'm going to have some of them come up here today, the people that work with me throughout the week to help the church do what it does, for the ministries to continue week in and week out. These are very special people, not just because they're gifted, talented people. Not just that, but because they really love God and they love people and they're very devoted to the work here at Stony. And lots of things have been happening in their lives and in their ministries, and I thought it would be good to help prepare us for celebrating the Lord's Supper today, to hear from them, just a few minutes each. Once I call them up here, they'll just kind of take it from there, and then I'll come up and share just a minute or two in preparation for communion. But let me do the introductions all right now. First, we'll have Andy Barba. He's our small groups director here at Stony, the small group Bible studies that meet throughout the week. He's going to come up and share. And then he'll be followed by Mary Marang, who is our office manager. She's the one who kind of keeps the business aspects of the church running. And then after Mary is Corey McCluskey. He's our children's ministry director, Adventureland. He's going to come up and share. And then finally, on the staff, Chris Bordeaux, associate pastor over youth and programming here at Stony. All right? So please let them know that you appreciate them and give them a nice welcome and encouragement. Andy, come on up.
Thank you, Randy. Good morning. God has been working in building relationships and his people through small groups in 2010. Personally, I know that God has strengthened me, particularly in my boldness and personal witness because of the support and encouragement I've received at my small group. Despite a very challenging year for me and my colleagues at my workplace, I've had the opportunity to be an example to others by putting God first in my life. Whether that's by taking time to meet for lunch with Jehovah's Witnesses, which I've done this year, encouraging younger coworkers to pursue God, or letting others know I'm praying for them in their struggles. I've even had a chance to share my priorities with my vice president. God first, family second, and work third. Not a message a vice president normally wants to hear, but one I think he ultimately respected. And just a few days ago, I had the privilege of sharing my faith one last time with my Aunt Mary Jo a few moments before she died. I'm convinced that without the prayers and support of my small group and church family, my witness would not have been nearly what it needs to be. So a sincere thank you. I know I'm not alone. I've seen our SCC small group families help each other weather tough storms and glorify God through their struggles. In our small group, we've been a support to Milo and Annie Loop as they've struggled financially, physically, and with the passing of Annie's father, which was a little over a year ago. We've supported Chastity DeLashment in dealing with her kidney problems, and we're continuing to pray for her. Chrissy King, through struggles raising two wonderful but energetic young boys as a single parent, and the Fieldings dealing with family health concerns. And that's just our small group. I know other small groups are doing the same things. I think of Ron and Mary Reem's small group, which enjoys fellowship with a number of people dealing with mental disabilities. And the neat thing is, by Ron and Mary's testimony, they have been blessed more, learned more, and received more from them than they have given. God at work. There are other examples. The Bernard family leading an outreach small group. Cynthia Reske hosting a neighborhood Bible study. Dixie Javery leading a women's small group despite significant health issues. She's got another one coming up, so look to join that if you can. The Rose Ministry putting on a fantastic women's retreat. And our men's group building and encouraging our SCC men at our monthly breakfast and Bible studies. And I haven't even mentioned all the great small group fellowships that meet regularly during the week. All have had a huge impact on the life of our church and are true examples of God at work, all to his glory. Well, I could go on and on, but I'll leave some time for others to share. I would like to encourage you, though, if you haven't been a part of a small group in 2010, why not make 2011 a year where you make a commitment before the Lord to join in? You'll not only experience God at work in others, but experience God at work in you. Thank you.
All right, well, that was great. Thanks for sharing that, Andy. Well, first I want to start by saying I'm truly thankful for my position as office manager here at Stony Creek Church. God has wired me with a lot of drive and ambition, and I enjoy being active. Some of the things that keep me busy are homeschooling our son, Jimmy, who's in the ninth grade, and he's also enrolled at Macomb Community College this semester, so it involved driving him twice a week for a two-hour class that often ended early, thus curtailing my errand running capabilities just like that. And then I also volunteer at Katie's High School and her community theater group. I work 20 hours a week here as office manager, and I manage the financial and payroll statements for Nick's State Farm Insurance Agency. Plus, I sell a line of women's designer clothing at in-home trunk shows, all while trying to keep my house somewhat clean and stocked with food. And I don't cook. So I have found that keeping a regular schedule, though, is what allows me to be so busy. A somewhat flexible schedule, but still a schedule. And I have also found that by being surrounded by a loving husband, wonderfully supportive parents, godly pastors such as Randy and Chris and the elders here, and a team of dedicated ministry volunteers, I'm not alone in accomplishing everything that needs to be done. According to dictionary.com, to share means to partake of, use, experience, or enjoy with others. And I am blessed to share in ministry here at Stony Creek with a team of wonderful ministry volunteers. They are Judy Bernard, Susan and Nick Bishop, Sherry and Lennox Bowman, Francine Barba, Leah Bordeaux, Ann Zaremba, and Beth Hanby. They all share themselves with this church to serve the Lord. They lead their ministries with integrity, responsibility, and dedication to share their gifts with Stony Creek Church. Before Nick and I came to Stony, we attended a large church in the area where I was on staff for 5 years. I managed the early childhood department there during the weekend services with 9 paid staff people who worked for me. But now here at Stony, I have 9 unpaid staff people who continually amaze me as they serve week after week as if they were paid. I also want to thank the many people who volunteer along with them in each of their ministries. They are truly what makes this church run. This church operates like a team, or to use military talk, an army. I found this year that when you share the responsibilities of the Christian life with others, you receive strength. The army is strengthened by your position, and when you are weak, others can take up the slack. With this army attitude, you're better able to reach your destiny in God because you have the guidance and protection of other soldiers in the army. This is far better than trying to shoulder the responsibility alone. I've known this for many years, but I have to admit, it's sometimes much easier to just fly solo. Not having to deal with other personalities and other schedules, it's a lot easier for me at times to just do it myself. How many of you moms and dads out there can relate to that? Well, even though I know people matter to God and are more important than lists, there are also times when I'd rather just live my life with me and my list, checking things off as I complete them, but that's not the way God intended us to live our Christian lives. Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Well, as we are about to embark on 2011, I would encourage you to team up with a body of believers here at Stony Creek Church and experience the joy and protection of this army. Get to know someone more deeply than you know them today. Work on relationships and putting people first, because I know that is something that God has really placed on my heart for the new year. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Mary. I'm Corey McCluskey. As they had said, I'm the director of the children's ministry here at Stony, and I wanted to make you aware, anytime I have an opportunity to come up here, I'm going to spotlight the kids as well. So I've asked a couple of them to read some scripture for you today as I go through what I'm going to share. First off, I'd like to say, in 2010, I've seen the Lord at work in many ways, such as events like we saw last week here with the Lamb's Tale, the musical that the kids performed for you for Christmas. We also saw it during the historical reenactment of the Last Supper at Easter time, if you remember that, those of you that were with us. Not just in the performance, the end result, but in all the people that pulled together as a team and stepped out and to glorify the Lord with their faith, showing that when you step out, the Lord will bless you. He also showed to us that we can create memories for years to come in the lives of these children through these types of events. I have seen him revealed when a child or a young adult, some of which are here today, we have the bridge class here with us today, since I'm here sharing about them, I wanted them to hear this. They're here with us today. When one of them comes to you and asks a question about their faith, that happened during the practices. One of the parents came up to me and said, my son has a question about his faith, but he didn't want to ask Pastor Randy, and he didn't want to ask Pastor Chris. He wanted to ask you, and that just touched my heart. We sat down for about a half hour and talked about the thing he was struggling with, and it wasn't because of doubt. It was to do what my son is going to share with you right now. Jacob, if you could come up. Scripture commands us to do that, and Jacob's going to share with you exactly where in Scripture that is.
But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
Thank you. You can take your Bible too. So they could be prepared to share and strengthen their faith as commanded in Scripture. I have seen him revealed in the wonderment of his creation when we came up close and personal with lions, tigers, and bears. There you go. I knew it was coming, so I want to give you that opportunity. At the Weber Wildlife Museum, right here down by Morley Candy, where they have one of the biggest exhibitions of, they have lions, tigers, bears, they have elephants, and all these things, and the kids and the parents got to actually experience these things right up close without fear of being mauled or anything like that. So it was a wonderful experience, and you could see God's creation right up close. I have seen him revealed in the passion for teaching and serving that is so apparent in all those that volunteer every single week when you step into the classroom. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their reaction to those kids when they show up in their classroom, how excited they are to serve. And they do it, as Mary had said, without any payment here on earth, but we know their payment is coming. In the year to come, we will continue to put our faith into practice with key events like a first ever VBS, which is part of what we're planning for 2011, a family field trip to the Creation Museum, the home plate outreach event at Comerica Park, and now that we have pushed the 10 minutes of service allotted time that we usually get during special events to an unprecedented 40 minutes like we got last week, which is four times the norm, we will, Lord willing, create more memories for our kids and families with more Bible-based performances. In all of these events, it is our faith in the Lord to do his work through us that is critical. I have often heard people say that the devil is in the details, but I know that he has revealed to me that is the Lord that is revealed in the details. There are so many things that can go wrong anytime you take something on, but it's the Lord that is revealed in the details. Anytime we take on a task, we could talk ourselves into complete panic by all that could go wrong, or we could seize the peace of the Lord and know that He is with us and He will equip us. We have to practice and prepare, but without putting God in the driver's seat, we are losing sight of the true motivation, to glorify Him. We cannot attain perfection. We lose the joy of service when we depend too much on our own actions and the expectation of perfection. In other words, if I make a mistake, I'll never do it again. I've learned so much from the times I've made mistakes that have strengthened me and showed me God's power in those situations. So don't let that happen to you. We could talk ourselves into complete panic by all that could go wrong, or seize the peace of the Lord and know that He is with us and that He will equip us. We have to practice and prepare. We cannot attain perfection on our own, but through our dependence on Him, we can experience the joy of serving and of His work within us. We wouldn't wait until we were in peak physical condition to start going to the gym. We wouldn't say, once I learn Greek and Latin, I'll be ready to pick up a Bible. And we cannot wait until we are righteous to seek the Savior. And we shouldn't wait until we are perfectly equipped in order to serve. The truth is that all of our ministries are His. He simply chooses to do His work with us. And what a great God we serve that allows us to work with Him, for Him, and through Him. And in the end here, in 2010, we will continue to do His work, to seek His will, and to show our faith in all that we do. And with this being the day after Christmas, I've asked Snowflake, or Griffin Oreski, to come up and share one last word of Scripture with you in closing.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. All right.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Corey. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. For Leah and me, 2010 will be remembered for a lot of things. It was the first full year we got to spend with our son, Xander. It was the year that our family moved back up into this area where Leah and I first met, where we grew up, where we first started attending this church, where we both trusted in Christ as our Lord and Savior, where we were married, where we had our first son. We love it here. This is our house, our home. Oh, it's the Lord's house, but we get to live in it too. It'll be remembered as the year I earned my master's degree in the area of religious education. But 2010 will also be remembered as the year we buried my grandma. Shortly after I trusted in Christ, it was back in 1996, I began inviting my dad to come to church. And within a year or so later, Randy led him to the Lord after a Sunday service. We were over at Eisenhower back then. Together, my dad and I shared the gospel with my grandma, and she received Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And so in 2010, when she went home to be with the Lord, I thank God that He worked in such a way in our family that we could send her off and say goodbye to her genuinely with real peace, that we would see her again, that she was going to be with our Father in heaven. And friends, this is just one example of what God is doing every day in our midst here at our church. He's moving among His people here so that the lost will trust in Christ, like four teens that trusted in Christ at our Jesus Freak End, our last Jesus Freak End. And of course, we're leaving Tuesday for our next Jesus Freak End, and I'm excited about that. Or like a young man I had the honor, the privilege to lead to the Lord over the phone a little earlier this year. Lost are being saved because God is at work among His people. He's also moving among His people so that new believers will be brought into fellowship in the body of Christ right here. We've seen this with our baptisms this year, and we've seen this in our small groups and people plugging into ministry and entering into mentoring relationships. Assuredly, as I've seen God building into my own life these past many years, bringing me from a lost person to a newborn Christian, and building up in my life to become an example to others and even a leader of others by His power and His grace, I've seen this very thing happening in your lives this year. I've seen it in our programming ministry with the raising up and building of our team and even our new substitute praise leader, Jeremy Mangus. Appreciated him leading us this morning. And our new web director. I've seen this with the thickening of the ranks, people stepping up into ministry. Our audio ministry went from one person to four this year. Praise God. I've seen this happening in our youth ministry, God building into people's lives as he's done in my life ever since I've trusted in his son to save me. We've had five new staff come on the youth ministry this year so that we can rotate our teaching on Wednesdays and Sundays. I've also seen many students stepping up into these mentoring relationships and adults stepping up to mentor them so that there's more youth being mentored now than ever before at our church. We've had plenty of help from our college age kids. I probably shouldn't be calling kids by the time they're in college, but I do because I'm getting old. They've been helping us with praise, the praise ministry and the youth small groups. And in fact, I did a little survey or a little count of my own, and I realized that this year we have more college-age students currently plugged into ministry, whether in youth ministry or somewhere else in the church, than ever before that I know of, definitely before I began attending since then. And so I'm glad to see God building up godly men and women coming out of our youth and sticking with their faith into their college years. I've also seen this in my own small group, as Andy shared about his small group. Two godly men have stepped up to help share the teaching with me, and we've been rotating that leadership. We're even going to be expanding our group in the next year because we can do that to meet in multiple homes and have even more opportunities to invite people. And so I thank God for developing me in 2010, and I praise his holy name for building into the life of our church in this last year. And as I've been praying and seeking God's direction, his will for 2011, I believe that he's laid it on my heart that we need to constantly challenge ourselves to grow in our relationship with him and our ministry to each other and to the community that he's placed us in. The Lord isn't done with me. He still has somewhere for me to grow up to, some new place for me to get. And he's not done with anybody in here. And so what is God laying on your heart? Where is he calling you to grow, to expand in 2011? And what amazing things will he do in your life as you follow him, as you follow his leading and challenge yourself to grow and be faithful to what he wants to do? Well, I'm excited and eager to find out what he's going to do in 2011, and I hope you are. God bless you guys.
Now you see why I get so pumped up to share with you on Sunday mornings, because I'm working with these people all week, and it really, really is a blessing. Really helps me, really builds me up and encourages me. For me, 2010 was, this is going to sound incredibly cliche, but it was a very fast year. You know how you always say, man, I can't believe how fast another year went by. Well, double that, triple that for me this year. Why? Well, for me, I was finishing up my PhD, and it was all coming to a head this year. And as you know, I ended up going over to Scotland in April and finishing up there with my oral exams. And it was really an exhausting time for me. Everything had been so busy, not just leading up to that trip, but everything for the past 4 years. Every vacation I took, every day off, practically every single day off, was spent in the library or in front of my computer. And after 4 years of that, just You know, burning the midnight oil sometimes up until 3 o'clock in the morning, often, I mean, just regularly, working away at that and trying to do my job here and be a husband and a dad to 3 kids. Finally, that kind of catches up with you. And I was very, very exhausted when I came home from Scotland. And it took me weeks physically to recover from that. I just was like, oh, I'm finally done with that. And yet it was a whirlwind of activity. And because of that, the year just seemed to go by so quickly. All my vacation had been eaten up practically with the study and the trip over there to Scotland. And, you know, when you're going through things like that, and by the way, I'm not complaining at all, might sound like it, but I'm not, because I was very, very, very grateful, and it was a labor of love, and I'm so grateful for all of you and for the leadership here at the church of just being very understanding of me while I was going through all of that and never complaining that, you know, I wasn't there enough or whatever. And my family, too, and my wife, all very, very supportive. But when you're going through something like that, you ask yourself, why am I doing this? You know, even if you like it, there are those moments where you think, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I killing myself like this? And I come back to the verse in Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 28. Paul says, we proclaim him, Jesus Christ, admonishing and teaching. Admonishing and teaching, that's me, that's what I do. Admonishing and teaching with all wisdom, hopefully that's me at least a little bit, so that we may present everyone perfect, fully mature in Christ. I really believe that going through difficult things builds character. I just believe that with all my heart. And I believe that going for that degree made me a better person. Not just smarter, hopefully a little bit of that, but just a better person. Because hard things build character. And Paul says that he went through all that he went through because he wanted to teach and admonish and present every believer mature in Christ. And he says in verse 29, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. And so that kind of sums it up. For me, what God has called me to do, what he's wired me to do is teach the word. That's what I'm so passionate about. I always joke with my staff and the elders that, you know, from my point of view, every problem can be solved with a Bible study, because that's just the way I'm wired. You know, I just love to teach the word. And so for me, this year was very significant because I think it made me better equipped and a better person to help serve and teach his word and be a better person to serve you. And so that kind of wraps it up for me for 2010. Right now, I'd like you to just shift gears a little bit. I'm going to ask the guys to who help serve communion, our elders, to come and help out with that. And Marilyn's going to provide some music. Let's think about the cross. We've spent all this time preparing for the coming of Jesus when he was born in Bethlehem, and rightly so. But you remember that all points us to the cross, Jesus coming here. He came as a Savior. And why a Savior? Well, because we needed to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from our sins. All of us have sinned and violated his holy commandments, and that makes us condemned, hellbound, unless we accept the salvation he provides. How did he provide it? He provided it on the cross when he paid the price for the sins of all humanity, dying in our place. And then 3 days later, he was gloriously raised from the dead. That's what we're remembering here. And so the elements are going to come around in a few moments. If you have come to that point in your life where you've put your trust in Jesus to save you from your sins, then he invites you to this table. He says, do this in remembrance of me. If you're still checking out Christianity and you haven't made that commitment yet, then just let the elements pass, because you don't want to make a statement about yourself that isn't true, right? Okay, better yet, why not make that commitment right now? Receive him. Put your faith in him as Lord and Savior. It'll change your life. And then you can make that statement. The statement you're making is that you've taken him into your life. Just like you'll take this bread into your body and this juice. You've taken him in. The bread represents his broken body that was broken for you. The cup represents his poured out blood that was poured out for your sins. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you're at work here in this church through people like Andy and Mary and Corey and Chris. I thank you for each one of them and how you've worked in them and in their ministries this year. We look forward to the new year, and it's all because of what Jesus did. He came, he lived among us, God in human flesh, giving his life on the cross for our sins and then being raised gloriously from the dead. As we partake of these elements, we ask that you would bless them and help us to remember Jesus and what he did for us as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen.